ESPNLasVegas.com for everything ESPN Las Vegas. 1100 AM and 100.9 FM. KWWN Las Vegas. Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Man, you really drew that one out. All right, hey, it's Cofield and Company. We're over here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar at Treasure Island. The best chicken salad I've ever had. I'm telling you, it's really good. Here with Alex White, Jared behind the board back there at the studio. Welcome in, Reno. I know we teased Reno before we came back, and Reno is here. Welcome in. We also teased someone else, a one Steve Cofield, who's not here.
Yep, but
that's okay. He'll be back. He'll be here eventually. He'll be on with us, but I'm going to we'll keep an update on that as well. I got to ask you, have you tried the food here at all?
No, I haven't. I'm going to grab a menu, though.
You need to, because I know I keep going on about the chicken salad. You got to try the chicken wings, too. They're amazing.
I'll do the chicken wings. I would try the chicken salad, but I don't do
it. You don't like the onions? Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I totally get it. All right, let's get into the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Well, I don't know if you, are you into TV? Do you watch a lot of shows? Are you into Game of Thrones or any of that stuff? Alex?
I live under a rock.
Yeah,
I don't
really
watch many shows.
No?
I finally started watching Hard Knocks, so I'm pretty proud about
that. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's a good show. It's a good show to watch, especially if you're in sports and gambling and everything.
Yes.
Well, Game of Thrones, you probably know, is a dragon show where it's like, you
know
medieval
yes.
times
okay.
and all that stuff. There's a wedding chapel here in town now that is having Game of Thrones-themed weddings.
Okay.
Now, first of all, I think weddings are stupid, but if you were going to get married, would you be, like, super pissed if your boyfriend's like, yo, I want to do it, like, you know, I want to have Lord of the Rings. I want you know, the Gollum guy to give us the ring or whatever.
I wouldn't be super pissed. I would not agree to it.
No, you'd just say no?
Yeah.
What percentage?
And I don't want to say it's stupid. I mean, if people are into that and they like it, it's cool.
Yeah, it's stupid. But if, well, like, would it matter what it was, though? Like, if you guys got together and there was something you did like, would you make it a theme or that was out of the question?
Ooh. Probably not.
Yeah, right? Stupid. Just admit it's stupid. Come on. You can say it's stupid.
I can't say it.
No, you can't? All right. Alex is too nice. I think it's dumb. And I don't think... You know what else is dumb? Destination weddings.
That picture
weddings.
Looks cool.
Yeah, no, it looks cool.
Okay, now that I have to push back on. I don't think destination weddings are stupid.
Dude, I know somebody who has a destination wedding going on in a month, and it's in Spain, and they're spending I'm almost $1 million on this wedding. That sounds stupid, okay? They're inviting people to go and not paying for their tickets.
What?
Yeah. If you're going to go to Spain, you're paying for my ticket if I'm going to Spain, especially if you have a $1 million wedding. Like, if you want Greg to show up, which I know it's very important to everyone, you're paying for my ticket.
So you just want your plane ticket paid for, and then you're there?
If it's a $1 million wedding, yeah, you're going to pay for my plane ticket. I'm not paying to go to Spain to watch two people get married that are probably going to get divorced in a year and a half, you know?
Pay for his ticket, Alex. God.
Jeez. Number three.
Number three.
All right. So this is when I become a hater, which I shouldn't do. I try not to be a hater. You know, you'll see a guy that's 4'2" and 7 feet wide with a really hot chick, and I try to be like, good for him, you know, stuff like that. This is annoying. It's a local, so I'm not as annoyed, but it's still annoying. A local made a $5 bet at the Rampart and won almost $500,000. Ooh. I immediately got mad instead of happy. Do you get happy when you see this, or do you get mad?
No, I was not mad at all. And you said that it was a local, so that is really cool. And shout out to Rampart. That is the sister casino from the South Point.
Yes. Yeah,
love,
yeah.
Love all those people out there. And Dwayne Colucci, who runs the book out there. So, awesome. Good for her. I mean, I understand a little jealousy. I can feel that.
No, I hate them. I do. I don't want them to be happy. I want them to lose all their money. Whatever they got, I want them to spend it on something dumb and be mad about it a week later. I want them to buy like a golden remote for their TV or something that's worth all that money and lose it.
What? She has the biggest heart ever. She's listening to us right now. She's going to pay for your ticket to go to Spain with that money she just won.
I really do like this person. Whoever this person is that won, I'm honestly a big fan. Number two?
Number two.
All right, Alex, I want to get your opinion on this, because I know you are a betting person. You've actually won lots of money. Hey, you know what? You're one of the people that won a bunch of money, too. But you did it. You actually did it, though, you know, with skill. You didn't just go in there and bet $5. So, okay, that's good. The divisions. I saw the rankings. NFL.com put their division rankings out. Obviously, there's eight of them. Did you look over this list, and do you have any problems with this list? Because I wanted to hate it. I was like, man, I'm going to talk about this. And, you know, when this comes out, obviously the rookie thing with WNBA, I was fired up. I'm looking at this one. I'm like, you know what? It's kind of okay. I don't know if I have any arguments here, really.
It is tough. And the bottom four, I think you could make an argument and kind of switch those four around.
Yeah, we should probably tell you. Okay, so it goes. We'll go eight to the top.
Yep.
Eight, NFC South. Seven, AFC West. Six, NFC West. Five, AFC South. Four, NFC East, which I think is pretty good for them. AFC East, we got number three because they've got the top two, you know, three teams are pretty good there. And then two, NFC North, and number one, AFC North. So, I don't know. I can't really argue too much with any of these. Maybe the NFC West might surprise a couple people and be higher. I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah.
I would put them a little higher. AFC North is definitely one for me. And a lot of people want to argue that the NFC North would be one. It's close. It is close with
that's
the
true.
Last few years. But I mean, the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers, they were all above 500 last year. It's hard to not put them at one.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, going back to the bottom, really, I mean, ooh, the two South, you could make an argument for either of them at the bottom.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the Rams and the Cardinals and the Niners might make that division better than people think this year. I mean, the Rams are always, they get counted out, and then they come back for some reason, and then they go to a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, or whatever. So the Rams, I think, are actually going to be pretty good. And McVay doesn't usually have back-to-back bad seasons. I don't know. I feel like it's a decent list, though, for once. I'll tell them that. How about that? I usually argue with everything and hate everything. But
NFC East is pretty low, but,
well,
I mean, I guess two of the teams aren't really doing their job there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure after the Cowboys and Eagles, I mean, unless you think the Commanders are going to surprise a bunch of people, and the Giants look absolute trash. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I think the Commanders could surprise some people.
Well, I hope not. I hope they are very, very bad. Next one.
Hey, I've got Dak Prescott on my four fantasy teams.
Do you really?
I'm with you. Let's go, Cowboys.
I completely lost my space on here. Tell us what number one is.
Number one. So, you were just talking about the New York Giants. They did something a little odd, which I had to look it up. It has happened a couple times, but they unretired number one for rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers, former LSU wide receiver. We haven't even seen him play in the league yet, but they did get permission from the family, so now he gets to wear number one.
Why do you retire a number if you're going to unretire it? What is the point?
I don't know.
It's retired.
The other thing is he didn't even wear one in college. So
yeah, exactly. It's not even an important number to him or anything. I don't get it at all. If it was Jalen Hurts and he like won the MVP the year before or something, and, you know, and he wears number one and he comes in and he's like, oh, you know, this and that, I still would say it was dumb because it's retired, but I would understand it more than this. This is some dude. Like, are you kidding? Why?
And when I looked it up to see other people, I mean, it was like Peyton Manning, Jerry Rice, people that kind of switched franchises too and then wanted that same number.
Right.
It's odd to me.
I don't like it. If once you retire something, it should be over. That's it. No more. And that's it. So I'm very upset about it. But I guess I have no choice but to deal with it. And retired numbers are now unretired. I just don't understand why. It's like when people celebrate Halloween 3 days before Halloween. Or it's like, this is my birthday week. And then they celebrate their birthday on Wednesday, but it's really on Saturday. It's like annoying to me.
Oh, how about the birthday month?
Yeah, that too. Well, not to be misogynistic, but the women usually do that the most, the birthday month thing. Which, do you do that, by the way?
No.
I mean, it's fine if you do. I don't care.
No.
Because when I see them do that, I'm kind of like, is that a narcissistic personality disorder or something?
I mean, I guess we all have our things that we like to escape and look forward to. So maybe that's it for them.
All right.
Happens to be sports.
Jared, I see military time on here. Can you tell me what that means?
We have to go to 14 to make it to the Reno area, and then we're out.
So a hard out. I just wanted to make sure because I can't read. I'm not in the Marines, and I don't know what that says. So.
At the 14-minute mark, you get to go home. Well, no, you get to go to break.
I thought it was saying like 1,400 hours or something.
That would be 2 o'clock.
You know, it's funny because, I also work on comp. And when we go into the there's a studio, obviously, but there's edit bays where sometimes we have to record stuff and come in and out of. And there's one that has regular time on there, and there's one that doesn't. And I always try to wait for the one with the regular time, even if it's like 20 minutes more I have to wait. because I can't tell time. Like, I don't want to do math to tell time.
I know.
It's hard enough as it is to, like, recognize the numbers and all that. Like, I don't want to subtract and add things. And James has it on his phone right now. How do you deal with that? Why do you do that? Are you military? Are you ex-military?
No, my dad is military.
Okay. And then he used to wake you guys up in the morning at a certain time? And yeah. Like, doing push-ups and all that stuff? Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. I've never seen anybody with that on their phone before, except for people from other countries.
Oh, I've seen it quite a bit.
But were they from America?
Yeah, I feel like maybe it's the health. Like, I've a lot of nurses that I know.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Have that time.
Or if you work on, like, a triage or something, I get it, you know? Me, I'm just like a normal, out-of-shape dude who doesn't care. I'm an American dum-dum, and I can't tell that kind of time. I have no idea what's going on, but whatever. Do you celebrate your birthday on the actual day?
It just depends where it falls that year, right?
So, like, if your birthday's on a Wednesday, would you celebrate it on a Saturday night? Like, I know people that, like, their birthday already happened, but then they celebrate it later. To me, that's the worst thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. No, I would do that. I feel like it's actually more convenient for people than trying to, you know, they have lives and work weeks and being like, hey, you're celebrating my birthday on this Wednesday. I don't care what you have going on.
Yeah, see, I think that's what I would do. I have, like, OCD, though, I think, where, like, once midnight hits, then, like, it's not my birthday anymore, and I don't want anyone to bring it up. I don't want to talk about it till next year. Now I'm sad. Like, my birthday's over. That's why I have to celebrate the night before, by the way.
Okay.
So, like, midnight is my birthday, and then I celebrate it until the next midnight. If I go out that night, then after midnight, it's not my birthday anymore.
You don't get to
celebrate. Why are we even here anymore? You know?
So you get a nice full 24 hours, though.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems, obviously.
How do you feel about people leaving their Christmas tree up after Christmas?
You know, it's funny because Doug Douglas, who works with us in sports, hates that. I know he hates people having their Christmas lights up after, too. I think if it's laziness, it's okay. You know, I mean, it's if I have to go out there for 4 hours and staple a bunch of stuff to the side of my house, maybe just leaving it till next year, I just turn them on again. I don't know if they have, like, ones that are, like, the color of my house, and then next year I just turn them on, and then they're like, then they change colors, you know?
Right.
Like, if the cable blended in, I've just never changed them because I'm lazy. But yeah, I guess that's bad. I mean, I think New Year's, right? What's your cutoff? New Year's Day?
It depends. And I'm glad that you brought up that laziness, because I left mine up for about 5 months.
Did you really?
Lazy. Yeah, it was in the loft. I thought it looked nice. It had, like, the fake white snow, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wait, inside or outside?
Inside.
Oh, I'm talking about outside ones. So you left the ones inside your house for an extra 5 months.
I did, yeah.
Okay, that's weird.
I mean, not that it's bad. In my loft, I just was like, yeah, it looks pretty still. I'm not annoyed of it yet.
Did you wrap yourself gifts and stuff? Or
No.
No? You just
I should have. No, maybe this year.
I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of weird to me. I think I would not do that. What about okay, this is another thing that annoys me. When people get annoyed about things that don't matter, which I do all the time, but the pumpkin spice thing.
Light.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I just contradicted myself, but whatever. But, you know, like, when people get mad about pumpkin spice, like, oh, I'm so tired of pumpkin spice. Guess what? Don't order pumpkin spice. Like, why do you care? Or they go to the store and they're like, oh, there's already Halloween decorations up. Like, why do you care?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
No, I don't either.
Jared, how do you feel about this?
I feel like we have 45 seconds left in the segment.
Thanks for the input, Jared.
Yeah, I'm helpful.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. I appreciate that input there. Well, I'll tell you what. I want Christmas stuff in there now. I want the Halloween stuff out already. I want Christmas now. We got to get ready. Christmas is a way more important holiday, and I can care less about the other ones. So Christmas right now. Get ready, stores.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
That's right, live at the Golden Circle at the Treasure Island. Alex White, Greg Salerno, filling in for Cofield. Should see him any minute now.
Yeah, he's here right now. Oh, wait, no, he's not.
Not yet. But joining us now, we've got Shannon Kelly from Nevada Sports Net. Covers the Wolfpack. You can find her on X at @ShannonKelly_TV. Shannon, thanks for joining us. How are you doing right now?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on today.
So I want to start with last week's game. Nevada really shocked everybody. High expectations for SMU going into this year. Nevada had a nice 17-10 lead at halftime. Then some things kind of started to happen. Walk through that fourth quarter with me and what you think was the ultimate letdown for Nevada, where SMU did get that win 29-24.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really interesting. As you mentioned, Nevada had the lead at halftime, and, you know, Nevada scored an average of just 17 points last season. Brendan Lewis threw two touchdowns in the first half, and he threw two touchdown passes all of last season. So everything, you know, was clicking for Nevada in the first half. And then, unfortunately, really, it was in the fourth quarter there where things just started to spiral. There was a little special teams miscue by Nevada, which led to an SMU safety, and then SMU was able to drive the ball down the field, and RJ Maryland, their tight end, was able to come up with a big catch for a score to take the lead, and ultimately that would be it. Nevada had a chance at the end, but just unfortunately couldn't move the chains quick enough with just a few minutes left. So a tough game that came up just a bit short, as it looks like Nevada was going to have one of its biggest upsets in school history.
You know, now they're going to take on Alabama and off of, you know, I'm sorry, Troy, I'm sorry. In Alabama, I was reading your thing because you were going out to Alabama to, I read your tweet, that's why I'm sorry. Anyways, your tweet said you had their first trip to Alabama. And I wanted to know where you flew into and if it was nice, because I know there's parts of Alabama that try to call themselves the Vegas of the South. And I cannot imagine that that's true.
That's funny. I've actually never heard of that analogy before. So that's a good one. Learn something new every day, right? So, but I flew into Montgomery, which is about an hour or so away from Troy. So I'll head over to Troy tomorrow. So staying in Montgomery. And it's been, you know, it's different. I've never visited the South before. I've been to Texas. I've been to Florida. But I feel like it's definitely different here. Pretty cool though. There's a little river nearby, the riverfront area, so check that out today. And yeah, it's different, a new environment. I always love checking out new places, but it is really hot and really humid here.
Yeah,
so that I'm not used to in Nevada. In Vegas, in Reno, we're not used to that.
Yes, yeah. Shannon Kelly, Nevada Sportsnet, just confirmed Alabama is gross. So the line on this game might be, are you surprised on this line at all? It says Nevada here, I think they were at plus 9.5. Are you surprised at all at that line?
I don't know. Yes and no. I think, you know, it has come down since a few weeks ago, since we originally saw it. I think it was close to two touchdowns. But, yeah, I mean, I think Nevada still has to go out there and prove that, hey, they can, you know, this is a different Nevada team. Coach Choate said after the game, you know, on Sunday, he said, yeah, we buried the old Nevada tonight. So, or last night on Saturday night. So I think Nevada needs to now go out and prove, hey, that they're close. You know, can they put it all together and win some games? And I think, you know, Saturday's game, though, showed a lot of belief in these guys that they are coming closer than they were last season. So while I'm not necessarily surprised, I think Nevada is going to be an underdog in almost every game this season until they do start winning games and turning heads. But I think it was a start in the right direction last week.
Definitely a really good showing in their first game, Shannon. So I imagine the vibe has to be pretty good with the team as well.
Yeah, talking with some of the guys this week, they said, hey, you know, we knew we were close and we can, you know, we're that much closer. But there's obviously still work that needs to be done. They really stressed about cleaning up the little things and, you know, not playing physical, but not crossing that line. And that was something that Coach Choate had stressed to them, that, hey, be physical, but you can't cross that line and we can't let penalties happen. So, yeah, that seems like, you know, everything is certainly on their side, and they have momentum off of, you know, last week's result, being hungry to try and go out and get a win, but also seeing some progress that, you know, necessarily wasn't there the last two seasons, going 2-10 back-to-back years.
Shannon Kelly, Nevada Sportsnet. You can follow her at @ShannonKelly_TV. Do you think that there is a psychology, like when, you know, Choate's telling the team, we were good, we're going to get him next time, whatever, that type of thing. Do you prefer a coach to be positive in that situation or to say, like, hey, man, we got some things we got to clean up and step it up? Because they did kind of surprise people a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a former student athlete, I think kind of a mix of both. I think it depends on the situation. I was never on teams like that level from the past years of losing, say. You know, one of my years, right, we were not that great, but I think a mix of both, and it really just depends too on everyone's, I think, personality and how it's received. So I think, you know, obviously words can go in multiple different ways, But yeah, I think a mix of both.
You just said that you you could see Nevada being an underdog in most of these games here. Now, of course, in Troy, first road game of the season. Where do you see their first win coming from? Do you think they could pull this upset this weekend?
I think they have a really good chance at pulling off the upset this weekend. Troy has a new head coach this season in Jared Parker, first time head coach. So I think, you know, for Troy, they still have to figure out what's their team going to look like. They have, you know, I think roughly more than 60 new guys, about 40 guys that are returning. So it's a pretty new squad. And there's a lot of familiarity with Nevada's staff and on their staff with Coach Parker and some of his staff who is at West Virginia. So there's some familiarity there amongst coaches. We'll see if that can play a role in one side or another. But I think Nevada has a good shot. They've already had a game under their belt playing together under a new coach. We'll see, though, if it pays dividends tomorrow.
Talking with Shannon Kelly here from Nevada Sports Net. I've never really thought about this, Shannon, but how has it been for you with this transfer portal? How tough has it made it for reporters to keep up with not only their own team, but the opponents that their teams are playing?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it takes a lot of time to go through rosters and, you know, to really get prepped, because just because a roster is one way one season doesn't mean it's going to be the same the next. So, yeah, it is actually, it's pretty crazy. And there's been a lot of turnover on Nevada's roster, too. So definitely spent a lot of time this offseason learning more of the names and numbers, because yeah, they weren't the same as last year. So, and I'm sure it's going to be the same, really, you know, once Mountain West play starts, too, once they start diving more into those rosters, too. So,
what do you think is a good season this year for Nevada? Like, let's say the season's over, you look back on it, what do you think is their best chance?
I mean, I think a good season, it would be better than last year, so more than two wins.
Right.
I think. Yeah. I mean, it's tough because they do also have a tough schedule. I mean, 10 teams on Nevada's schedule this season made it to bowl games last year. So how much of that is going to carry over? It's tough to say, you know, as we mentioned with all the roster turnover, but I think a successful season would be winning more than two games this year.
Sure.
I am a UNLV alum, so a little bit of rivalry here, but I have to say Nevada fans are diehards and they show up no matter how they are. How have they been, and are the vibes good with your fans going into this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was really happy to see the fans that stayed through Saturday's game last weekend. There was 20,000 fans or so on the attendance afterwards on the box score there. But I think the fact that fans stayed through all four quarters is big, because the past 2 years that hasn't necessarily been the case. So I think fans are excited about this new era of Wolfpack football under Coach Choate. And, you know, I think obviously, though, it will take some winning for fans to keep coming back. But it's a slow, it's a process. You know, what is that going to look like? Is it going to be slow? Is it going to be quick? You know, every team is different. So what is that going to look like this year? We'll find out here in these next several weeks.
What's the rest of your weekend look like down there in Alabama? I mean, have you looked around and said, like, wow, I'm going to go here, I'm going to try this out, or anything on the agenda?
Well, I checked out Waffle House this morning, so I had my first Waffle House experience.
Is that your first one ever?
First one ever.
Wow.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
Yes.
First Waffle House experience ever.
Did you see a brawl or anything? Tomorrow. No brawls or anything?
Wait, what was that?
I'm sorry. Did you see a brawl or anything? Because every time I used to go to Waffle House, if it was after like 10 p.m., there was absolutely going to be a brawl.
No, I did not.
Good. All right. Well, that's good then. What did you get at Waffle House?
I had a chocolate chip waffle, which was great. Everything else was mediocre. The eggs, the hash browns. I know people are going to think I'm probably crazy, but, you know, it's for the experience, though. Like, it's for the experience.
No, you're right.
And then hopefully check out some good barbecue tomorrow before the game.
Last but not least, I've got to ask you about the big game between UNLV and Nevada. November 30th, who is going to take the cannon home this year?
I think it's I think it's too early to say. I think, you know, when rivalries come around, records get thrown out the window. So I think we still have too much time to tell.
That was a good answer.
That is a good answer.
Good answer. All right. Yeah, well,
I think you just never know. We've seen teams go under 500 but still win the Cannon.
That is true. Yes. Well, we appreciate you so much, Shannon. We hope you enjoy your trip there in Alabama. Make sure and follow her, ShannonKelly_TV on X. And, have a great trip in Troy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, maybe Steve Cofield will be joining
maybe.
Us.
Maybe. We don't know.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
He draws that out every time, and I think he's done, and then he keeps talking. Anyways, Cofield and Company. Cofield not here right now, but he'll be here in 2 minutes. He is, traveling or something. We have Alex White here. I'm Greg Salerno. We are here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook at Treasure Island, an amazing place you're going to want to come check out. They have amazing food, everything going on. And if you come down here wearing your college gear, you will get a free Modelo. Speaking of free stuff, you want to give something away, Alex, right now?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Definitely give something away.
I just heard word that we do not have. Oh, my goodness, we don't. This is a major breaking story. Jared, please tell us what's going on.
Okay, well, we've had them literally all week, but for some reason today, we did not. So.
It's all right. It's fine.
The promotions guy goes on vacation, and suddenly we don't have giveaways.
That's totally fine. I'll tell you what. Go see it, though. It's a good tour. The Nick Cannon's Wildin' and Out tour. I've heard great things. So go see that.
If you come visit us, too, here at the Golden Circle, somebody just came up. We gave him a little goodie
bag. Yeah, I saw that guy. He actually gave you a compliment, but you had your headphones on. I don't know if he was being weird or whatever, but. He was like, she looks way better than you. I'm like, thanks, man. And he, like, walked away. I swear, it's like all that happened.
That's not very nice.
I mean, I guess he's right, but I'm just saying. I was like, okay, whatever, man. Thanks. Great Friday.
So you casually brought up earlier that you are no longer living in a hotel. The last time we co-hosted together, you were enjoying it, loving that life, thinking you were going to stay there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. This is a big thing in my life because I was living the dream. I was living in hotels. I'd go to lunch. I'd come back, and the housekeeping had my room ready. I had free cable. I could put the air at, like, 50, and nobody cares because it's not my bill. It was pretty amazing. But all good things come to an end, and I am now sharing a house with somebody, and I live in a house. So it's unfortunate, but it's weird because I woke up in a house this morning, and I was like, whoa, this is weird.
I have to make my own bed.
I know. I got to, like, do stuff and do my own things, and, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. But it's cool because – when I live, like, in a house, on the weekends, I was kind of just finding somewhere to go. There you go. Some fans walking by here that were fans of Alex. I was usually on the weekends, I was staying, like, in my car or, like, on somebody's couch or, like, just driving far away and then driving back because it takes up a long time. But now I'm going to wake up this weekend in a house for the first time in months. So
wow.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. It's going to seem really strange, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I haven't, experienced real life in a while, so.
You also haven't had a roommate in a while, right?
I haven't. That part, see, I know the person for a long time,
okay.
So that part's okay. But it is weird, like, when you come out of your room now. Like, I usually leave my hotel room in this casino. Now I come out of my room, and there's, like, a person, there. But, and I also haven't had a kitchen in 4 months.
Yeah.
So it's weird to have a kitchen. Like, this morning I woke up, and my roommate was like, hey, do you want some bacon? And I was like, wow, okay, I guess, And, like, I paid for it, like, not even knowing, because I thought I was still in a casino,
Yes.
Yeah, I left a tip.
So that I left a tip to your roommate. That is the question I asked you, too, because you said it was about the same price, paying week by week.
Right.
As renting a house, but I said, did you pay more in food? Because you couldn't really have groceries and...
You don't even want to know. So I looked at my bill last month in food. We'll do Price is Right rules. Alex, you have to guess, and then Jared, you have a guess, too. You can't go over, though.
I'll give my guess to James. I'm not good at this game.
Come on, just guess.
Jared, what do you got?
$1,237.
Oh, my goodness. You went over, so you lost Price is Right rules, but it was really close. I spent $1,200 on food last month.
Ooh.
$1,200. James is over there. I know. I was living the dream, man. And now, and it's funny because I've been losing all this weight, and I was like down a bunch of weight. Well, I gained a little bit of weight too, living in hotels. So now I'm back to the house, and I'm poor again. It's awesome because I can't eat.
You're like, it's on.
Yeah.
For all of you, because I'm coming for you. I'm gonna.
What are you gonna do?
No, I'm saying for you, because now you're in the house. You're like, I'm feeling good. I'm.
Oh yeah.
Not eating out.
No, I'll be starring in a sitcom here in 3 months when I lose all the weight from being poor.
You're lucky Griffin's not here, too, so we could get away with that five-minute segment
about
your living situation.
I know. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate you.
Is Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Cofield & Company here at Golden Circle at Treasure Island. We've got another hour 15 with you here. Alex White, Greg Sinero. I butchered it that time for sure.
That's all right. Call me whatever you want,
Sinero,
dude.
Sinero. Anyways, we've got to guess.
Call me Scenario.
Scenario.
That'd be a cool name.
That's good. I can go with that.
Right.
Good guest coming up here. Action Network, near and dear to my heart, sports betting page. Joining us now, Evan Abrams. On the phone now. Listen, Evan, I've been reading your articles. You do great work over there at Action Network, looking at the college football right now. Just give me your overall take on how this season has gone. I know a lot of underdogs have been covering.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Nice to be here. And yeah, dogs have been pretty good to start the year. I mean, from all the action I'm seeing, especially with Michigan State starting out with a safety, I think everybody needs a few minutes to kind of get rolling, except for maybe Oklahoma when you play Temple. But the season's been pretty good, only a day old. So, I'm not really looking into any of the stats or trends or anything like that yet. But dogs have, like, an early advantage, especially with FBS versus FCS. It's pretty messy until you get to, like, week three or two, maybe even four, in my opinion.
Definitely have to agree with you there. There is one trend that you had written in an article, and it is about Texas A&M. I'm fascinated with this game. I can't wait to watch this. Of course, Texas A&M against Notre Dame. It's a new era for Texas A&M. Mike Elko's head coach there now. But looking at their win total since 2013, Texas A&M has gone 2-6-3 in its win total to the over. That's not good. They need to start with a win here against Notre Dame. They are a small favorite. What do you think their chances are in getting this first win?
I'm going to be on the Irish. I've kind of liked the Irish a little bit since the start. But the only thing I really like in this sense is it did open at 1, and now it's at 3. So I feel like I'm getting a bit of an advantage there. Necessarily, right now we see about 53% of the tickets, but 75% of the money coming in on the Aggies. So I think you might get to 3.5. So I'm probably going to wait it out at least at this point. Because I think 3.5 might pop at some point too. But you were talking about their win total. The craziest stat to me, when their win total sits at 8 or higher, they are 0-6-1 to the over since 2010. So when the Aggies come with expectations, it hasn't been fun. And I necessarily kind of like Notre Dame as a bit of a sleeper. College football playoff, things of that nature. But yeah, it's got to start tomorrow night.
Georgia takes on Clemson tomorrow morning, and they're actually the favorites to win it all. Do you feel that way going into the season?
I'm not going to be on Georgia, and yeah. I've talked about this at a few different points. I mean, I think Ohio State actually might be the better team overall, but I'm looking down the board if I'm going to bet anything right now, especially with the expanded 12-team playoff. It's kind of like the NFL, right? Like, I just need to get into the dance. And I want, like, a bit of a portfolio. And you've really never said that before in any college football season ever, which is pretty exciting. So I was looking at a team like Utah. Utah absolutely rolling in their opener. And I think behind the quarterback and the experience and everything that's kind of going on there, I kind of like them a little bit. And I'm also on Gabriel in Oregon. I think between them and Ohio State, just better team overall than Georgia. And obviously Georgia being the favorite, right? Like, looking at history, the favorite's been okay. They usually get close. But coming through and going all the way through, unless you're Alabama, it's a bit of a tough road.
Let's talk about Utah and Oregon. I am with you. I do have them rated very high going into this year. I am a little concerned, though, that they will no longer be playing just Pac-12 teams, and now they are moving to these bigger power conferences. You're not too worried about that, though, for these two teams?
Not at all. I mean, I think from a talent point of view, I think obviously Oregon the better team, and Utah offering a little bit more value. But to me, I think more teams kind of muddies the water a little bit, right? Like, if you find your angle and find your team and find your situation, I think all the different schedules and all the different circumstances kind of gives it a little bit more value. Now, obviously, if you're Ohio State or Oregon, the odds are going to be super short. So potentially, not tying up your money and waiting for a later game may be a better situation. But that's why I was kind of interested in Utah, right? And I'm obviously very happy the way they looked in to start the year. But to me, that's probably the easier play. I like I said a few seconds ago, building a portfolio, perfect. I've never been able to really like do this March Madness thing where you actually come in with a few teams, because I feel like, you know, those teams like Liberty or maybe Texas State this year never even had a breath of a chance.
Talking to Evan Abrams, Action Network. I say a lot that I hate underdogs and I can't stand. I like when the best team wins. I get like OCD if they don't. I don't know. I'm a weirdo. But what's a big upset you could see happening this weekend that people would be shocked about?
Well, So I'm going to say this off the bat, and I'm not really happy about saying it because I'm a graduate of the school.
Yeah.
But I'm on Florida International against Indiana. Indiana sometimes starts hot out the gate, but right now 64% of the tickets are taking FIU in this game, 22 points at the moment. So obviously I'm really calling my shot here, but I do think they stay in the game. I think they find a way, and I think that line's pretty inflated. So that's definitely one dog that I'm looking at on the board. And if I'm looking even further, let's see, I'm looking at some of these numbers right now. So how about Cal and UC Davis? It's another huge line, but it's another situation where I'm not sure how great Cal's going to be this year. So I think if you got up to 21, it's worth a sprinkle. I call it pizza money, you know, a little bit of lunch. But those are probably two spots where you have two really big lines that I'm hoping, you know, maybe a 14-point or even, you know, they come in through the money line, which would be ridiculous.
Evan, I can't believe you just said that. I am in a survivor pool for college football. Can use a team just one time, then you can't use them again. I thought Indiana might be a great choice for this week because I wouldn't want to use them later on. Now, after
all I can say is this. I mean, they're a 22-point favorite for a reason. I'm not debating. And also, you're kind of getting – there's no debate. There's 70% of the money is on Indiana to cover. So I'm rolling with the public here. Maybe I'm a little jaded. Maybe I've seen a little bit too much Indiana football in my life. But, yeah, I'm touching the other side.
Okay. I might have to just stay away from it. That's all I'm saying. Might just have to pick another team for this week. I want to get your take on this. So at a few sports books, including South Point here in Las Vegas, they did offer a prop where you could take Georgia and Ohio State versus the field to win the national championship. Bettors have been liking both sides. Right now, I believe Georgia and Ohio State is minus 115, the field minus 105. If you had that bet, are you taking the field?
It's actually not even hard for me. I would 100% take the field in this bet. And it just goes down to the fact that they're going to have to play most likely more games to get to the final end zone and to cash your ticket than they have in previous years. Like, even if they go into the playoff undefeated, you're still going to have to face an up-and-coming team like a Liberty, a Texas State, somebody who is going to get in there. And it's just more of an opportunity on the other side. Now, I'm not loving having to lay on both sides, but that's the circumstance we live in this industry at the moment. But I do think the other side is probably the better bet.
Yeah, you could potentially, even if both get into the playoffs, you'd have 10 other teams right there if you were holding that ticket. So it does make it tough. But a lot is going to come down to depth because what you said, they have to play so many more games. How much are you looking into that with these other teams that you like that have a shot to win it?
Well, I think it goes with you and goes against you because it's just a math game, right? Like if you've got fewer games to play, you'd probably be looking more towards the favorites. But that's why I'm building my portfolio with longer shots because, harder to get to the end, but also more options for me once I get there. And to me, that's the better situation you want to be in. And that's kind of the building the portfolio idea that many people do sports like March Madness once you get into like conference tournaments. That, to me, is the approach for this college football season. Now, I think the good thing is, even if you don't get in now, I think you're going to have an opportunity in weeks, you know, 2, 3. A loss doesn't eliminate you. So I think trying to build early in the year is going to be more fun than it has been.
Talking to, sorry, I just choked on my own tongue there. Talking to Evan Abrams from Action Network. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about UNLV because we actually live in Las Vegas, and it's probably the first time I can remember since I've lived here that I've actually been excited going into a season. I know they have a lot more Friday night games this year, maybe a little bit tougher schedule. How do you see that winding up for them this year?
I'm going to go over. I'm a fan of UNLV this year. I think they're better than they have been. I mean, their opener is a bit of a toughie when you talk about this week. Getting 3.5 points, Houston's a little bit of a tough shot there. But the only thing I will say is it's looking like there's some sharp money coming your way. So lines move 2.5 to 3.5, but 78% of the tickets on UNLV. So I think there's a chance to pull the upset, and it's the reason why I think the win total is a tad shy, and I'd be more interested in the over. But obviously history hasn't been great for the Running Rebs, but I do think you're in a bit of a different spot this year. So I'm optimistic. Let's use that word.
So I asked you about one big game with Notre Dame and Texas A&M, another really big game, which we might see more offense in this one. LSU, USC, new era for both of them. Miller Boss for USC and Garrett Neusmeyer for LSU. Right now, the Tigers -4.5, and the total is 64.5. Do you like anything in this game?
The funniest thing about this line is a trend that is just insane to even hear. Over the last decade, USC being 5-26 straight up and 10-21 against the spread as an underdog, worst at any school with 30-plus games in that sample size, you would say, oh, my God, ridiculous. I actually like USC. I'm trumping my own trend and saying I'm going to be on the money line. I just think LSU's a little bit overrated. The two teams hired new defensive coordinators, but to me, I think USC's a little bit better in this spot. So even with Caleb Williams gone, I think they make a statement in this one.
I like it. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that game. I think it's going to be a great game. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Can you tell us what else you have coming up? I believe you have something for NFL that we can find on the website.
Yeah. So actionnetwork.com. I'm on Action Network podcast on Sunday and Tuesday every week. I'll be on the favorite podcast with Chad Millman and Simon Hunter. But if you look on actionnetwork.com, I have a weekly NFL article. It'll have all my notes and everything. It comes out every Wednesday. So check it out, and thanks for having me, guys.
You want to ask him about the Cowboys really quick?
I don't want to know anything about the Cowboys. Thanks, Eddie.
Oh, the Eagles.
I'm an Eagles fan. I don't care. I hope the Cowboys go under by 30 games if they have. If they play extra games, I hope they lose those too. I don't want the Cowboys doing anything. Evan Abrams, Action Network, thank you so much for joining us, man. You're the best.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
That's a man that knows his stuff. You can just tell.
Ooh, yes.
Me? A man that doesn't know anything, but that man knows his stuff.
I'm so sorry. I don't know your team. I got.
No, it's fine. It's okay. I mean, look, the Cowboys, you know, people like the Cowboys, and then there's Americans. I mean, there's two different kinds of people in this world, so that's just how it goes. Some people love awful teams and horrible owners. I don't know what to tell you. His face is fake, and he just made it last week, so there you go.
Brutal. I wish I would have asked about the Eagles, too, especially because there is a lot of upside. Another new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't
know.
And
I'd like to know his trends.
We got this first game coming up in Brazil, and it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. They're like, don't take your phones out. Don't look at this way. You might get pickpocketed by a 9-year-old. Like, why are we playing games there? Stupid.
Whose home game does this count for?
It's the Eagles' home game.
See, that's
And they can't even wear their home uniforms because they're green. Stupid.